Some of you were here last Sunday. For those of you who are not, or you have an option to go back in the group, in the online group, and see about what I shared last week, because we started kind of a series of messages centered on community. And community, it's a broad concept. It's sometimes an overused word because it can mean everything and nothing to people, but it's still something that we need to look at, because a church, a local body of Christ, is supposed to be a true community. And talking about community, I don't know how many of you, and if all of you are part of that BIC online community, and it's the group that we use, it's a Facebook private group that we use to broadcast our gatherings, and you find them there. It's a group that we are broadcasting on right now. And it really helps us to stay connected, not just so we can watch sometime, but also to get other information. I don't know how many of you saw the announcement that Stefan Koman put in there a couple of days ago. If not, I encourage you to look it up. You know, go on Facebook and see BIC Online Community and scroll down a couple of messages. And you'll see he shared about one of our priorities for this month, for this fall. There is a family that we want to help. It's called Project M, or Family M, you know. It's a family that has a few children, and because of poor material conditions, the government has stepped in and took some of their children away. But the family really wants to stay close to the children. They visit them in the placement center where they are. Their little house was affected by a fire, and they had some problems with the electricity. So together with another church in town, we want to come alongside them to serve them. Even as early as this week, they will pour some concrete, and kind of they want to do enlarge their space and build a little room so they could receive their kids back, so the kids can live close to their family. So pray for that. You know, talk to Stefan. You know, if you just go in that group, you can ask him directly. Some people volunteer to give some things and refrigerator and stuff, so that's good, because we don't want to just talk about community. We want to be community and really be a presence in this city. So also you can make a donation, use an envelope when you put it in the box there that we use for contribution, or if you use the online or the bank account, you can say there for M Family or Project M. For legal reasons, we don't want to give their full name, but we know we need to protect all those, but it's the M or Project M Family. By the way, the smoke that is coming around, it's not part of our worship experience necessarily, as in some cases, but it helps because we have a problem. There seems to be a very bad case of mosquitoes around here. Some of the ladies are already attacked this morning, so some of the smoke really helps to keep them away. And thank you for Radu, if you're affected, you can turn the on the one under the table. It really helps to the booth. It's the most it's the epicenter of the attacks, but God is bigger than all of that. Okay. Last week, I'm not going to repeat the whole message from last week, but basically we realized that community is about people that have things in common and leave them out. You know, leave them out, not like leave them aside, but truly leave them out every day. You know, it's not just a core value on paper, because these days we have so many mission statements and core values that are just like blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to community, it's about what really people value. It's like, you know, it like in any family, in any group, it's like, look at what they do together. Look at the things that they spend their time, their energy, their money on, their conversations on, and then you know what they're about. For example, it's like in our community, some people like coffee. Like this morning, it took them a few minutes to get the coffee going. They were talking, they're like, why is this not working? This, without coffee, you know, it's like, you know, woo. You know, and there are many people, like yesterday when we were doing I was doing a walk in town and I saw big lines, like, whoa, a line on Saturday morning? Some people really were waiting for their coffee. They must really like that coffee. It's just like that with us. If we look at our habits, if we look at the things that we usually do, at our time and energy and finances and relationships, we figure out what is our community really centered on. And we looked at the fact that even among Christians, even in church, there are different kinds of Christian communities. There are different things that our communities can be centered on. And some of them, they have the broad concept of Christianity. They brought the broad touch of Christianity. But we look at the fact that But it's, for example, it's one thing to have traditions, and I like some good traditions, not all of them, but I like some good tradition. I like the Christmas musical traditions. I like some of the traditional ways that the Orthodox Church celebrates Easter. You know, if you've never been to an Easter service in a Eastern Orthodox Church, please try to do so next year. I like some of that, but being centered on traditions, or even in our church, we have the tradition of certain parties with university students, certain events around the year. Being centered on that is not the same as being centered on Christ. And, you know, obviously God wants church to be a Christ-centered community. So today I want to take this theme a little further, a little deeper, hopefully. And I ask myself, what does it take? How do we build Christ-centered community? Because I know many of us, we want that, theoretically, right? At least in our statements, in what we declare. But how do we do that? Especially in a city like ours, how do we build Christ-centered community? And I was praying about it, and because I didn't want to just share some things that I heard from God before and things that I'm passionate about. I wanted to hear something fresh from God. I wanted to understand his heart for people and how he wants to bring people together in his name. Because Jesus did it so beautifully. If we look at his life, he made community. You know, the 12 disciples, the 70 disciples, the people around him, and then even people who gathered in his name. You look in the New Testament, you look in the early church, even today, you know, if we are example, we are as imperfect as we are, it is community. You know, we are making a difference. We live and we share life together. But how can we grow in that? How can the Holy Spirit build community in us? And the passage that I'm going to read, and the Holy Spirit led me to it, I think it gives us some very good answers. And I hope we'll all be open, not just today, but in the days ahead, to study this and let God speak to us. And I'm reading from John 15. And John 15 is obviously after John 13. And in John 13, last week we talked about the fact that Jesus told the disciples that the mark of true Christianity is there will be basically communities that really show and demonstrate love towards one another. That's what he said. If you have and if you demonstrate love towards one another, people will know that you are my disciples. So the question for us is this. Is that a priority for us? Do we want to be Christ's disciples? And do we want people to know about that? Because we say, oh, yes, of course. No, really. Is our life priority when you get up Monday morning or when you make your week plans in the weekend, whenever you make them? Do you really start with this? Like, hey, am I a good disciple? What kind of disciple I am? What kind of credible witness am I for the gospel? And Jesus said that. This is how people will know that you are my disciples. That if you have and if you demonstrate love, it's not just about like, you know, because there are so many songs about love. And I like some of them. Some of you maybe remember the Beatles. All we need is love. You know? Or like there are so many love songs or like, you know, like pop songs and rock songs about love. But we're talking about something much deeper than that. And one thing, as I was reading through John 15 and then I was looking at John 14 and I don't know how many verses I'll get to you today, I just realized for the first time that a lot of what Jesus was saying in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 of John, he's basically teaching the disciples how to be those kind of disciples that really have love for one another. He points on some other things and he touches on some important things, but the red thick line going through all these chapters is this: how can you hold on and how can you share God's love? And again, Christian community, true community is all about God's love. So, I'm reading from John 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Pay attention. Either way, we get pruned. So we get cut, we get pruned if we bear fruit, and if we don't bear fruit. It better be the kind the good kind of pruning. Okay, moving on. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, or the other translations say, abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Such a deep, beautiful text. Did you notice how many times it circles around back to this? Love one another. And he even says, love one another like I am loving you. And he even says, and the greatest kind of love is for somebody to lay down one's life for the one, for somebody's friend. You know, it's like I'm always touched when I see people who are ready to, for example, donate a kidney or donate a part of their liver. Especially moms do that. Moms have a special something in their DNA to be more sacrificial. But God is calling us to do such things for other people, not necessarily to donate our kidneys to everyone, but to really love people, to really demonstrate, show and demonstrate love for others. And basically, you know, Jesus says it in here, that if we want to do that, the answer is very simple. Remain in him, abide in him. If Jesus was going to do a similar preaching, where, you know, and actually he did, he will not necessarily talk about the word community. The word community is something more modern, especially in the last 30, 40 years. But the word that he used here was about the vine, because this is what his audience was very accustomed to. They used wine, they used grapes all the time, they saw vines, they could see them. And basically, a community, it's like a vine of people. People staying together, bearing fruit, for one another and for others to see, all for the glory of God. It says very clear, it's all for the glory of God. Worship should not refer to a nice set of songs or doing this thing or this meeting. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle when we are God's disciples and what we do reflects back on him. Just like it says here, you did not choose me, I chose you so you can bear fruit. God chose us to be connected. I don't know how many of you have ever walked into a vine. Have you done that and picked up grapes? You know, sometimes when I drive towards my hometown, I see all the big vines in Vrancha, lines after lines. You see them like, you know, lines of lines, and sometimes people are working, and especially at this time, it's always a difficulty to find enough workers because of this year, it's interesting enough. Sometime when you have drought, like we have this year, not enough water, some of the cultures are affected, but a lot of the vines are enjoying this kind of climate because they grow deeper roots or something and they get a lot of grapes, you know. And I saw it this week on TV that we have lots of grapes and we need people to help pick it up. But in order for the vine to be fruitful it has to be maintained, it has to be clean, it has to be pruned. But the most important thing, it has to stay connected to the, I don't know all the words in English, but to the root of the vine who comes from the ground. And basically, Jesus talking to his disciples, after he told them about the commandment, after he keeps telling them, love one another, demonstrate this kind of love towards one another, he explains, the way to do this is very simple. Abide in me, remain in me. And sometimes we know the words, but we are the kind of people like, oh yeah, what does it mean? Okay, practically, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Tomorrow morning, when you start your day, before you hit traffic, or you go to work, or you go online for your classes, whatever you do, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Do you hang on a cross to your neck? That's how you bind. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked, because the answer is right here. And it's something that I struggled with for years. And I know you didn't have such struggles, but I confess, I struggled with this. And it says this in verse 10. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So the way to abide in Christ, the way to remain in him, is to keep his commandments. And this is why I have struggled with this. And by the way, we find the same thing a little later, you know, in the passage that I read. And even in chapter 14, when Jesus talks about the promise of the Spirit, then in verse 23, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. This is how community happens. God's love draws us to him. Then Jesus and the Spirit and the Father, they come close to us. We have indwelling of God. God inhabits us. And now we become his representatives, his ambassadors to the world. We are both citizens of this world, but also citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom. And then it says, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. So then it says, if you remain in me, you remain in me by keeping my commandments. And because of my legalistic upbringing and some of the teaching, the way I interpreted this was kind of this. Well, if you're a good boy, if you're a really good Christian boy, if you're a really good pokaito or whatever, then you'll keep God's commandments and then you'll become worthy of his love. I kind of somehow put things the other way around, that somehow, I know you. I'm the only one who struggles accepting God's unconditional love. I know you don't have such problems. But at times I felt like, well, I have to do something. I have to fulfill some laws, some commandments, and then I will be worthy and I will gain God's love, or I will be worthy of staying God's love. That's not what it says at all. In fact, you know, it even explains it later. In John 15, verse 9, it says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So basically, we can see that God chose to love us. Jesus chose to love us because in the Trinity, among them, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, they have this porikoresis, this perfect love and acceptance. You know, the essence of God is love. God can do many things. He has many attributes, but perfect acceptance and love and mutual support and celebration. And out of that, through Jesus, God is enlarging the circle. You know, some of you may remember that movie about like, this is the circle of trust, and now this is the circle of trust, and now you're outside the circle of trust. You know, you're now outside the inner circle. And many times we feel like we are outside the inner circle, in a church, in a family, in a business. We feel like, but God is saying, we love so much, and we so much enjoy this perfect fellowship, that even though we don't need somebody outside us to make us happy, we want to enlarge this circle of love. And Jesus says, I have loved you, but so you now remain in my love. But if you want to remain in my love, you have to abide in me, you have to remain in my commandments. So what are the kind of commandments he is referring to? I don't think he's just referring to the Ten Commandments, which are given forever, but he's referring to the kind of commands he just gave them. Love one another. If you make love a priority of your life, you'll discover and you will be more and more full with my love. If your priority in life is something else, you'll not be full with my love. It's very simple. Tell me what you are focused on. Tell me what you seek. Tell me what you are after, and that's what you will gain. Jesus said, another commandment, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in the same passage said, do not worry. That's one of his commandments, and it's repeated more than anything else. Do not worry. In fact, it's one of the reasons why we lack love. It's one of the reasons that disconnects us from God, because we worry so much. And I said, I tend to worry. We tend to worry. And when we worry, we take our focus away from God, because you cannot look at God. You cannot say, God, you are amazing. You gave your life for me. But I think I need to overwork myself. Otherwise, my kids will not have food on their table. Can we really do that? Or like focus on God, say, God, you created me in your image. And you gave me worth, and you made me a friend. Hallelujah, you call me a friend. But I think I need to better take care of my career, because if I don't take care of my career, nobody will. Does that match? Can we say that? Again, please hear me out. I'm not saying we need to be like, cross our hands and do nothing and expect God to. Yes, we need to do our part. But worrying takes away so much of our joy in life. Jesus gave us this love, as he says here, so our joy may be complete. Jesus said to forgive people. Again, we can take the whole Sermon on the Mount, and we can look at that, some of the commandments that Jesus gave. He said to forgive people. But it's hard to let go. Sometimes we confuse forgiveness with trust, and that's why sometimes we don't let go of things. We don't let go of hurts. Of course. And those hurts become like new roots in our hearts. And you know about the thing about roots? What do roots do? They grow and bear fruit. So then, if in our heart, from relationship with others, with family, with friends, with colleagues, with politicians, with neighbors, if we develop roots of bitterness, of unforgiveness, they inundate our lives, and they take away the joy, and they take away the love of God. So basically, if we want to remain in him, be centered on him, it starts with a choice in our own life, in our own families. Am I abiding in Christ? Am I focused on his kind of guidelines for life, on his kind of approach to life? Yeah, I know for our generation, the word commands sounds harsh, sounds not something that we want, sounds like dead religion. No, but Jesus said, in my words, you will find life. I am the truth. I'm the true way that leads to life. But many times, as Christians, as his followers, we focus on something else instead of his commandments that lead to the path of life. He teaches us to not worry. He teaches us to not live our lives in unforgiveness and bitterness and all of that. He even makes it very clear. It's like, hey, if you want to worship me, and then you remember that there is an issue going on with you and somebody, please deal with it. That's one of his commandments. It doesn't say it's a suggestion. And then even, you know, talking about our subject of community, he says, hey, the greatest commandment is this. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. So you have to love yourself, truly love yourself, not in a hedonistic, not in a narcissistic, unhealthy way, but love yourself, which basically means to accept yourself in view of God. To not look at you, to not look at myself the way that the world tries to judge me. You know, I gave you sometime the story before. I noticed how people treat me differently in traffic depending on what car I drive. sometimes it's like, wait, what a second. And oh yeah, I'm in the Matisse. Or it's like people treat differently based on the kind of car you drive. And this is what people do. Our colleagues, you know, they treat us, and so we end up taking their glasses, their viewpoints, and we start looking at ourselves through their glasses, through their viewpoints. Some of you, I've struggled with this, but now God released me more than once. Some of you still look at yourself mostly through some of the words you heard in your childhood, and they're not kind words. Something that maybe family members or even parents or a teacher or somebody said to you. And it's very hard to abide in Christ. Actually, we're not. It's very hard to bear fruit and love people when we hang on to these things. If you keep my commandments, if you live in this regimen, you know, of the golden rules, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, then we can find this joy and freedom of love. And then we can really be a conduit of God's love towards others. And then we can become a centered community. Because otherwise, we can talk about love and community all the time, and we don't really see it. And this is why after 2,000 years of Christianity, there are so few examples of local churches or cities. When you look back 50 years, 30 years, 100 years and say, man, this community, this group of Christians, this city full of Christians really changed their community. They changed their neighborhoods. They changed their country. They left their everlasting mark. Because so rare, people get this. They understand this. God is calling us to something truly liberating. And to truly be liberated, we have to let go of our false pretenses, of our false images of security and worth and value. And that's why Jesus said, do not worry. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. What do we treasure? What do we treasure? When we treasure God's kingdom and his commandment, his goodness, his promises of life for us. And I'm sure when with Naomi and others, you look in the book of Jude, this is what you'll discover again. When we come back to the simplicity of faith, when we understand who God wants us to be, there's always a new joy. But then we get bogged down to the problems of life. And there are many challenges. And Jesus said, in the world you will have troubles. So don't be surprised that this world is full of troubles. I'm not a stoic. I'm not saying toughen up. It's all bad and trials. But in this world, you will have troubles. Jesus said that not only once. He talked at least on two separate occasions about troubles. But he also gave us the recipe. He told us how to deal with it. He told us how not to be overwhelmed, but to deal with it on a daily basis. So, how do we want to live? Do we want to live following the commandments of Jesus or not? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves periodically. And if we do, if we want to follow him, if we want to fulfill this commandment that he repeats over and over again of love, of living in love and really caring for our neighbor, caring for our friends. A neighbor doesn't mean just somebody you like. You know, in the example of the Good Samaritan, this was not about two bodies helping each other in time of need. This was about somebody from a different nation, from a different background, from a different social group being attacked, and you spending your time changing your plans, changing your priorities in order to reach out to them. Imagine this. I don't want to get into anything too, but like if you're Romanian, let's say you struggle, like let's say with some nationalistic ideas about Hungarians or Gypsy, imagine that God sends you a Hungarian Gypsy to take care of. Or let's say you are from the States, and let's say that somebody from the opposing view, because in 2 months there is a big election coming up. Let's say you can't wait to get somebody out of office, and let's say that somebody has a total different view. and can't wait to keep somebody away from office. How do you show love and compassion? When we look around on Facebook, on Twitter, I'm not even talking, we see that a lot of people cannot do that. So then it's normal. It's not so hard to understand why many people say, oh, Christianity is just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Because look at what they do. But when we have that kind of love that God gives us, that kind of acceptance, that kind of amazing love from above, from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then we can do it. So the question, when I look at this passage, and I know I need to wrap it up, the question, the answer to the question, how do we have Christ-centered community? The answer would be this. It's by following the model and the commandments of Jesus and by being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, you see it in John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you, the Spirit of truth. You see again, love, commandments, the Spirit of truth. It's like this. If we stay in God's love, that he originated in us, he's the one that started, the gospel is originating in him, he gave us love, life through the sacrifice of the cross, through the redemption of the clean blood of Jesus. And then we have love. If we stay in that love, means to stay in his commandments, and then part of that is to seek the Holy Spirit. We are full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to stay connected, to really receive what we have. Because he said, the Spirit of truth will be there. The world cannot accept him, the Spirit, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. You see, Jesus is not giving us a spirit of orphanage, a spirit of alienation, of separation. The world and sin and our worries do so. But Christ is always connects us. And that's at the essence of community, to be connected with God and connected to each other. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I will live. You will also live. And that, it's obviously through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Because by keeping his commandments, by following him on his way, he talks about following me on the narrow way, that's the way of love. And that's why many Christians do not exhibit God's love. We're not credible witnesses for the gospel. Because we go on the comfortable ways. We go on the cultural ways. We go on the ways of the world. But those are not the commandments of Jesus. And again, please hear me out correctly. Because for years I heard about this, and as I said earlier, I took it the other way. I said, oh, I better prove myself worthy of God's love. I better have to keep these commandments so I will have love. I have love. God loves me unconditionally. But for the fruits of love to grow in my life, it's a different story. For that, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell me and the Holy Spirit fruit to grow in me. Because when, you know, Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. This is how we get to fulfill the commandment of being a community of love. Only if we do what Jesus says here. Please, I mean, I need to wrap it up, but please take some time in the next few days and next few weeks and look at this. Read the words of Jesus. Look at what he has done on the last day. How he washes the disciples' feet. How he said, you have to do this also. You'll be happy if you do this, not if you know this. Then he explains to them about the commandments and how if you keep them, you'll stay in love. And being in the vine and glorifying the Father. And how the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. In John 16, it says this. I tell you, it is good that I'm going away. Because if I go away, the advocate would come to you. And he will teach you. He is the Spirit of truth. And he will show you in all truth. Because I'm going to the Father. And the Father, the Spirit, will teach you about judgment and about righteousness. If you believe in me. Therefore, I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And what is the Spirit receiving from Jesus and making known to us? The love of God. Jesus, the Bible says it's the Spirit that makes us says Abba Father. It's through the Spirit of God that we know that we are no longer orphans. Regardless of our social status, regardless of our relationship with our parents and social groups and community, through the Spirit of God, we are no longer orphans, but we are adopted. We can say God is our Father. And not just as a learned prayer, but hey, God is my Father. Hallelujah. Regardless how people treat me in this city, in this world, in this community, I am God's beloved. Whew. You have a different worldview, a different way of looking at things. And that can only be done by the inner work of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to follow this. We have a choice to worry or to trust God. We have a choice to look at ourselves in the way that the world sees us or in the way that God sees us. And it's because only like this, only when we choose this path, the path of Jesus, we can become a centered community, a Christ-centered community. Because otherwise we cannot. It's kind of like this. If you want the pieces to match together, they have to be the right pieces. I saw the other day that Sebastian was, I don't know if his son, he did like a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? You know, it's hard enough to do a puzzle. If you try to do a puzzle with pieces from different puzzles, yeah, that's frustration. If somebody wants to, if you want to frustrate someone, mix their pieces together. What I try to say is like this. If we want to fit together in Christ's community, to really be a Christ-centered community, it starts with an individual choice that you and you and me and you and you and you, we all make and say, it's not about me, it's about Him. I am here. Jesus said, you are here to bear fruit from me. You are here to glorify me. And when we do that, when we make that commitment, when we realign ourselves, then we can live consistently. Not perfectly, but consistently, incredibly, with the kind of love, with the kind of fruit, with the fruit of the Spirit. So again, I say to you, and you can check it out and correct if you know if I'm wrong. But the answer to the question is this. How do we live Christ-centered community? We do that when we follow His model, His example, and His commandments, and we follow the lead of the Spirit in our life. Because the Spirit takes what God gives him, it's basically, there was a change of baton between Christ and the Holy Spirit. Christ kept the disciples, taught them, cleaned them while he was with them, said, I'm going away, but the Spirit is coming and he'll be with you all over. And we together will come and have fellowship with you. And then you'll be my witnesses. But you cannot be the witness without the connection. If we don't let this abiding, this remaining, this focusing on Him. Okay? So may God give each of us a fresh desire to be His disciples, to follow His commandments. Because His commandments are easy. Basically, His commandments are like, stay on the path of love. Stay on the path that will lead you to true joy instead of letting the world be the one dictating your priorities and your choices. I encourage you to read through these passages and always see what Jesus is teaching about love and remaining in His love. And if we do those things, if we follow those, again, not in our own strength, I'm not talking about a legalistic, I'm not talking about a illuminating, you becoming a better version of yourself. I am talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to do His amazing work, because He's the one that adopts us to God's family and grows us. And that changes our perspective. And then changes our priority. Changes the way we respond to our spouse, to the way we respond to our neighbors, the way we respond to traffic, the way we respond to disappointments. Otherwise, we'll just try to fake it. And we have enough Christians who are trying to fake it. We are not to fake it. We just have to live it. Let the Spirit shine through us. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your work inside of us. Because my heart is full of joy, not because of what I've done, but because I was just reminded again of your great love, Father God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, of how you adopted us and how you reconnected us with the heart of God. And we are your beloved, accepted. Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting about that. Forgive us for turning from your ways to our own ways or to the ways of the world, but give us a new passion, Lord, a new focus to live and to follow you, Lord Jesus. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come more and more in our lives, in our hearts. Enlarge our hearts, enlarge our understanding, Lord. Not just with concepts and theology, but to be obedient, to be ready, to glorify you, to bear even more fruit for you. Help us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Give a fresh desire for us to look at your words, to look at your commandments, to look at your example and follow it out of love, out of this new passion and joy. You came so our joy will be complete. Help us to live in your joy instead of looking for the fake sources of joy that the world sometimes entices us with. You are the tree of life. You have the answers. You are the way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is so good. It's his goodness that leads us to his love. Please take some time with your family, with your friends, with your group to look at these passages in the next weeks. Because only a better understanding and a deeper commitment to this commandment in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 will help us to be community. Otherwise, we can talk about community another 5 years, another 20 years, will not move an inch. I'm talking about true community. May God be glorified.